Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
It's the month of March, and this month, Streaming Things is brought to you by Chester Copperpot, Trey Barrera, Conrad, Luke and Sarah, Dave Malfara, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Thomas Alexander, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, Stanton Valentino, Aaron Layton, Crystal Trujillo, John Collins Goes, Andrew Gray, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Casey McCain, and Enza.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Today, we're going to be delving deep into the minds of our patron-requested films, starting with a documentary on HBO Max called Class Action Park from 2020, which came out in the midst of the pandemic. That is...
That's right.
Everybody was watching this at home in pure hell and fear.
Everyone was like, you know what sounds better than being locked in my home during the middle of a pandemic? Going to a park that might kill me.
Mm-hmm. It actually does, comparatively, relatively. And we'll dive into it, but parts of this were probably fun. I know it might be a hot take.
Sure, yeah.
But if you didn't know, patrons of a certain tier of this show are allowed to demand certain films that we cover and deep dive. And we've got a big long queue of those because we've been a little remiss, I think it'd be fair to say.
Absolutely.
And we promised weeks ago that at the end of The Last of Us, we would start to delve into these films and try to finish them in the next couple of months, maybe doing as many as two a week until we catch up. And that is our that is our promise. And so far, one to one, we're doing good.
One to one. We've got it so far. And this one, Chris, was brought to you by our patron, Kiki Newton, who has been a longtime fan of the show. Yes. She's one of the original patrons we had. And actually, I had the pleasure of interviewing her for a patron exclusive episode, you know, last summer when you had your baby. I interviewed five or six patrons on for that month. And she was one of them. And she's just such a lovely person. I was so happy I got to talk to her. I miss her. I miss her every day.
And a good, great taste in docs.
You know? She loves documentaries. That's one of the biggest things. Like when I talked to her over the summer, she was just really adamant about her love for documentaries and how much she enjoyed watching them. And so it only made sense that when she gave us her chosen film as part of her Patreon reward, it would be a documentary.
Mm-hmm. And so for our style, we had kind of waffled on this. Like, what do we do? We're not going to do a scene by scene. That doesn't make any sense, you know? Talk about, hey, well, this talking head came out and the key light was just wonderfully accentuating that man's pate. So we're just going to talk about the movie in general, our experience with it, some cool tidbits that we gleaned from it and go from there. But always we'll talk about our overall thoughts about something like that, you know, our experience with it. Did you watch this movie back in 2020?
I actually did. I remember it coming out. So years ago... So I'm not from New Jersey. So growing up, I didn't know what Action Park was. We have King's Island, like a legit really good theme park. Mm-hmm. Only a couple people die. So I never heard of Action Park. But I did see that iconic photo of the Cannonball Loop, which is the water slide that has the actual like loop in the middle of it.
A real loop, yeah.
And I remember seeing that years ago and thinking like, that can't be a real thing. That's somebody, some hillbilly in the middle of Appalachia built that in their backyard and killed some family members when they came over. So when I saw the trailer, I can't remember where I saw the trailer for this documentary. Maybe it was on YouTube. Maybe it was on HBO Max. I can't remember, but I saw the trailer and then that image popped up and I immediately was like, wait a minute, that was a real park? That was an actual park that made money, that attracted tourists, that attracted families, and people went through that? I have to watch this documentary. And of course, it's like a pretty funny documentary as well. But did you watch it when it originally came out?
I did. I don't remember why, because I want to delve into this for a second, too. But let me answer your question first. Yes, I loved it. My wife and I watched it together. It was fascinating because I'm a fan. I at least know who Chris Gethard is.
Yeah.
As a comedian. And I was familiar with some of his work. And so I was kind of intrigued about that. But documentaries as a whole, I've seen far fewer documentaries than fiction films. Like as far as like, even if you look at my top 100 documentaries of all time list on Letterboxd, if you go through that, there's a feature on Letterboxd where you can make it opaque. Everyone you've actually seen, barely any go away when I use that feature on documentaries. And so it's like this thing with me, like I love nonfiction books, so I don't know why, but whenever somebody's like, dude, you got to watch this film. It's Oscar nominated. It changed my life. I'm like, great, great, great. They're like, yeah, it's this documentary. And I'm like, oh, okay. And part of my brain's just like, nope. And I don't know why.
I don't want to learn.
Yeah. It's like, and
I want to feel things, not learn them.
Like some of my favorite authors are nonfiction writers, like Bill Bryson. Like I devour that shit in book form. And I've loved so many documentaries that I've actually forced myself to watch, but like Minding the Gap. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's a really well-known documentary that everybody always recommends. I could list them off. The only ones I always watch are like filmmaking documentaries. I watch the shit out of those.
Same.
But yeah, so I don't know why I watched it, but I did. It was very fun, very fun times. So, it's funny how much of this movie centers on discussions about a difference in culture. Because like the tone is kind of weird for this documentary.
It is.
Because on the one hand, it's very serious. Like many children, not many, but maybe 5 or 6 children died and a couple adults, you know, and they were wanton endangerment of children. And at the heart of this, the guy who owned this, Eugene, what's his name? Mulvihill or something. He was a rampant capitalist, right? Like a friend of Donald Trump's, like 80s coke snorting Wall Street kind of guy.
Greed is good.
Maybe even had mafia ties, right? Yeah. That's implied.
Probably paid off some of like the town council to kind of look the other way for some of their, you know, misdeeds.
Yes. And so it's like, but it's not, I wouldn't say this documentary is not specifically like an expose about that guy and the terrible nature of this park. A lot of it kind of glorifies, oh, back when we didn't have cell phones and kids actually went out and lived their fucking life and did cool shit, like mutilate themselves on a slide. And,
this is a weird documentary in the fact that it is very funny. They do, you know, they do kind of point a light at this guy and they're like, he's doing a bad thing, but it was also kind of awesome. And,
right.
And there's not it's almost a documentary almost made entirely of like anecdotes and like anecdotal stories and secondhand stories. And
yes,
there's not a lot of hard facts other than like, hey, here's a newspaper clipping that said this person died. And here's like towards the end, it kind of gets a little bit more, you know, hard facts, but everything else is basically like, oh man, I feel like people were doing this, and it's kind of strange in that way. But you sense the vibe of what this park was and what it meant to people, and it meant a lot to the people that grew up living around it.
I think the reason you get that sense is that the people that they're interviewing are also conflicted.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, typically I'm not a documentarian or somebody who pretends to be an expert on documentary, but I've read a lot of work from people that are. And the main thing is like the point of a documentary is not to point an objective look like the news is supposed to do at an issue. You're supposed to take a stand with your documentary.
Right.
And come out with a thesis and then, you know, make that clear in your film. And I don't think this movie does that, but I think it's kind of on purpose in and of itself too, because a lot of people they interview do think it, like, I had a lot of good times there and it was awesome. And then there was a point in the movie where I was kind of like jealous I had never been there, and I was reminiscing on my childhood a lot. I'm kind of a 90s kid, but I did kind of grow up in that no cell phones era myself. And I was kind of nostalgic for that and thinking like, yeah. And then it got to that scene toward like the like what I would call the third act, where they interview the family of the first death, you know, in an extensive way. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I'm crying and shit, like talking to his brother about how he was supposed to be the best man at his wedding. But
and he died like, what was it?
Days before the wedding.
2 days before the what would have been the wedding. And they still had the wedding, it looked like.
So I had my other brother be the best man. And I was like, oh, well, I guess you booked all that stuff. I get it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like tonally, I was just like, why am I crying now? I was just like laughing. You know, it's all over the place in a way.
I think overall the tone works because it is fun. I think it kind of works to the way the film portrays itself is how I think everyone thinks of that park. They did have a good time. They are nostalgic for it. But in hindsight, it's kind of a nightmare. And it's people kind of grappling with that. But at the same time, being glad they went through it. Like, it's almost like this fun trauma bond that a whole area, tri-state area experience. You know?
It was like a Jersey thing. There's a quote from a lady there. I meant to write it down, but I wasn't taking extensive notes, but it was so funny to me. You probably recall it, but she's like, you know, part of me is horrified, but at the same time, I'm so glad. Like, I rode all those rides, you know, and part of me thought, if I can't do it, get the fuck out of New Jersey. And I like, and then it cuts. And I
think
that
was Alison Becker that said that. But it's 100% true. And I think the movie totally does work with how people view it. I will say the editing on this video is off. There's some really strange cuts and edits. And, you know, I was watching it with my girlfriend, and she, all, like, even though she doesn't do editing, she also was like, that's an odd, whoa, I'm pulled out of it.
I don't think they had much footage.
No, they didn't. You can tell they're really stretching. They had like the original VHS copies of like the commercials and stuff they ran, because they are really stretching that footage out as much as they can.
They use the same shot of, I forget what the ride is called, but it's like three people to a tube. And they come down and this girl's in the forefront and they push through a trapped tube and laugh. And like, they used that shot like five or six times and it was a good one. But they did have like each ride that they talked about some footage of it. So you can get an idea of what they're talking about. And they did some good graphic stuff with like a map of the park. What was your favorite ride?
Like favorite how? Like favorite like?
Like the craziest story or?
Oh, dude, it's still the Cannonball Loop one. I think that's the one that.
Like the whole idea that you could actually go upside down.
Yeah, and just the story behind it. Like, not only is it just such an iconic image of a water, like a tubed water slide that does a loop, like a roller coaster. Not only is that like such an iconic image, but the way they spend a lot of time on it and the story of it and how like there's this myth of Mulville, is that Mulville Hill? Is that how you pronounce Mulville his name? Mm-hmm. Mulville Hill, how he would just like, originally they were throwing test dummies down it and the dummies would come out like in pieces. And then he was like giving $100 bills to kids, workers who were brave enough to test it. And then they were coming out bloodied and bruised and missing teeth. And then they would fix it a little bit more. And then more kids would go through it. And now they're coming up cut up. Oh, because they're being cut on the teeth that were lodged in the side of it.
One of the wildest stories.
But you just look at it and it's just like, how did anyone think this was going to be possible? And they literally have to, like, if you were to do that, they hose you down first. They give you a pre-rinse, little pre-rinse. So you're already slippery before you get in. And then it's just pitch black. And imagine going into a pitch black tube and then suddenly like whoop, flying up the air, getting water shoved up your nose and everything. Like, it's bananas. And then they would have you can't be too heavy and you can't be too light. Cause if you're too light, you're not gonna, like, what was it? You're gonna,
the heavy ones would get stuck and the light ones would be going too fast, I think.
Yeah. They would get hurt or something.
Well, yeah. Everybody was getting a little hurt.
Yeah.
How do you feel? I want to ask you this too. Are you an amusement park guy? You like roller coasters?
Yeah, I like roller coasters. I don't seek out roller coasters, but like if I'm at an amusement park, you're damn sure I'm going to do it.
If you stumble upon one.
Yeah, if I'm like walking around on the street, I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? Is this, how did I get into King's Island?
Weird.
I'm gonna ride the Banshee.
I am not a roller coaster person.
Oh, do they scare you?
I didn't know this. Apparently. Well, I was very poor as a kid, so I went on one field trip to Kings Island. Had a decent time. I had a terrible time. I'll be honest. I made that up. I rode the.
You couldn't even lie for a second.
I rode the Diamondback or something, and I like kept.
Oh, the Diamondback sucks.
I kept my head down in one of the loops, and so I had a crick in my neck the rest. And that was like the first ride we rode. Nobody taught me how to, like, hey, keep your head against the rest as much as you can.
Yeah.
Hey, little chubby kid, what are you doing? And then, like, I had all kinds of stuff going on, accidents. And then I went to a fair with my friends and I threw up. Do you know that ride in Stranger Things?
The spinny one where you kind of put your
everybody's
back
against the wall.
And
yes.
The centrifugal force keeps you like against the wall as it spins.
Yes. So I violently threw up in that ride, which if you know the nature.
Is it going everywhere?
Yes. All over me and everyone else.
Oh no.
And I was with my friend's dad and he like took me home and like, so I've never been like a cool guy for that. But I went as an adult with Jimmy from the show.
Fuck is Jimmy?
Exactly. And my wife and his girlfriend. And they're all like really gung-ho roller coaster people, including my wife. I didn't know this about her. And I rode like the first couple. I forced myself through it. But I was having like, you know, I have these pretty severe panic attacks on a fairly regular, alarmingly regular basis. But I was not having a good time.
Oh, no.
I was like forcing myself, like terrified.
Oh, buddy.
I think I have an issue with control. Like the fact that everybody's, because my friend kept telling me at one point, Jimmy looked over and he's like, I don't even know what you're so scared of. You can do nothing. Like you're strapped in. It's either going to work out or it's not. Have a good time. And I'm like, that is the source of my fear. You know, like.
What if it doesn't work out?
I don't even like riding in the passenger seat of someone else's car. I prefer to drive because it's like if we crash, I can control whether or not we crash. Whereas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just a weird thing that I do. So that was a miserable day. And so I was getting kind of like jealous of these kids watching this movie. But part of me is like, I know myself well enough to know that this is my eighth circle of hell. Because like.
You would not have fun there.
No. Actual water parks that exist today that are like regulated still kind of hurt and shit. Like when you're going down slides, they scrape your butt a little bit.
So we live close to a water park called the Beach Water Park.
I think they closed that down.
Oh, did they?
During the pandemic.
Probably for the best. But I remember there was a slide that went almost vertically down. Like it was nowhere near as tall as what you see in Action Park because it looked like Action Park also had something like that. But it had that where you were kind of, you would leave the slide for a little bit while you're falling down and you'd hit it crashing down.
Yeah, Kings Island has those in
and
their
it's
water
like,
park.
No, fuck that. Why would I want to do that?
I did that once. It was fun, but like the floor falls away beneath you. You get in this tube and they go burr, burr, burr. You know, and then the floor opens and
you're
just,
gone.
Yeah. It's scary as shit watching other people do it as you're waiting. But it was awesome. But like some of those slides, yeah, they've got little where the pieces of the tube connect. There's a seal that isn't perfect and it scrapes your back and stuff as you're going down. And I'm a pussy. So I'm like, after doing that stuff all day, I'm like, this kind of sucks. I'd rather be watching a movie, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm just that guy, except for when. So like I was a really sheltered, quiet kid. All I did was read books and play with Ninja Turtles until it was way too late in life to be playing with Ninja Turtles. And then from like 14.
Yesterday?
Yeah. From like 14 to 23, I was an absolute insane person because I was so drunk and high and I was so angry at myself for being so sheltered and quiet throughout my childhood that I jumped off like giant cliffs and stuff all the time. I was always doing bonker shit for attention, to be the craziest guy out there, just like to be the opposite of who I really was in kind of a rebellious way. But and then back to it as a sober adult, I go back to Kings Island and I'm like, I think I like roller coasters. I do not. You know, that's why that was a surprise to me as an adult, because I'd spent so many years partying and just doing crazy shit. I was like, actually, none of this is me at all. I'm very nervous right now. I don't like this at all.
Yeah. I have a scary roller coaster ride story, actually, from Kings Island.
Which one were you on?
The Beast.
Mm. The largest wooden roller coaster in the world, Steve?
That the very same. The very same.
I love the fact that it's wooden in the name. That makes you feel good.
Yeah.
And built then by like, Benjamin Franklin.
And then they're like, hey, let's make another one that has a loop in it. But that's not the scariest part of it. The scariest part is that one will crush your nuts.
Son of a beast.
Yeah. That ride was a disaster. But
I've never ridden either of those because they terrify me.
Sunabee sucks.
That's what I heard. That's why they destroyed it. They tore it down. Yeah.
And it did not last. It was only around like 12 years or something?
Mm-hmm. Not long.
It would just destroy dicks everywhere.
Their new one is awesome.
Banshee?
No.
I love Banshee.
That's the replacement of Outer Limits, right? It's just the same one.
I don't know.
I think. No, it's a new, it's really smooth. It's Orion.
Oh, I haven't been on. I haven't been to Kings Island since before the pandemic.
So that is huge. It's like a huge drop and then a giant hill, but it's so smooth. Ooh. Like it's not, you know, a lot of them you're like,
yeah,
I think I'm having fun. Yeah. It's just not.
Oh, so you've ridden the Vortex?
But anyway, what happened on the Beast?
Well, so this is when I was 16. It was me and my buddy Josh. We hopped on the Beast and we're getting ready to go. And you know how like they have the safety thing that just kind of sits, it clamps over your waist. That's it. It's not like the harness that goes over your shoulders. This is the one that just kind of goes over your waist to keep you in.
Yeah.
So I clamp that in, and then they have another teenager walk down the line and make sure everyone has locked in their safety thingy. And when he checks mine, he actually undoes it. And so he pops it open, but doesn't realize that's what he does. And then he goes, all good, and gives them the signal to start it. So I'm trying to lock it back in, but it won't lock anymore. So it's just like, just not doing anything. So I'm like, wait. And my buddy Josh is also like, hey, hold on. This is that. But they didn't hear us or didn't care because they are also teenagers. And so we start the ride and I can't buckle myself into this cart.
This is my nightmare.
We're going up the hill and we're freaking out. I can't get this thing to lock in.
Is it a two-seater? We were both in this situation.
Yeah. So, well, his locked in. So it is a two-seater, but he has one. He has his own harness thing that's keeping him in. Only I'm the one in danger.
This is like the thigh one, right?
So yeah, it goes over your thighs and lap. Yeah. And so we're frantically trying to get up there. Josh is actually like starting to splay himself as best he can over me in case I can't get it locked in. So I don't fall off on the first drop. Luckily, the first drop's pretty tall. So we have like a while to try. And then thankfully, maybe like two-thirds of the way up there, I finally get it to click in. But he's still got an arm over me the whole time in case it popped back open. Yeah. At the right.
I got you.
We should have complained, right? We should have like gone to someone and be like, I almost died on the Beast. But we were 16, shell-shocked and freaked out. We just left. We just went home.
That's me. Except that actually didn't happen. It just feels like it did.
We didn't know what to do. So we just like went home. And that was only the second thing we did.
Did you feel like you were going to fall at any time? I guess that's the whole nature of a ride. Is it supposed to feel like that?
Yeah. Oh, I had never had something like unclamp like that before. And I didn't ride the Beast again I did ride it again, but it was like, you know, 10 years later, probably I rode it again. Cause no one else fell out of it. So I'm like, well, they must've fixed it.
That's so funny. Cause that's the argument I had with Jimmy that day at one point, you know, cause I'm kind of being what they call a hater. I'm sipping the haterade. I'm sipping the haterade all day. You know, I go on like 6 or 7 roller coasters and then I snap and they're like, let's ride this one now. And I'm like, I'm not. And the thing that made me mad, cause I have a temper, you know that about me, but it was like, I just want to sit here and eat some fucking Dippin' Dots or something. Like I want to be supportive of
the
you guys.
Ice cream of the future.
Yes. And like, they're like, no, you got to. And like, so they're pressuring me, you know?
Yeah.
And then I snap. And then Jimmy,
leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly. Like you ride the fucking ride. I'm going to sit here and stare at these fucking, I don't know where their parents are, but I don't know what's going on, you know? And then, Jimmy said something.
Who's like, is Jimmy?
He was like, it's perfectly safe. And I'm like, no, it's not. Cause you know, who's making sure all of the safety procedures are being followed?
Teenagers.
A minimum wage, stoned out of his fucking mind. Teenager. That stands between me and a gruesome death, mm-hmm. or even worse, maiming.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a girl at that theme park whose legs were cut off by one of the roller coasters. That was a Kings Island thing that happened, mm-hmm. right? Shit like this just, it's rare, but it like, I have bad luck. It's going to be me, you know? So yes. I'm with you, man.
You kind of speak to a thing where I feel like all amusement parks have a sense of danger to them. You know, I don't know if there's a theme park in the world that hasn't had someone get maimed or killed in them, right? It's just a matter of, I think with this specific park, the Action Park in New Jersey, there was a frequency issue. of yeah, people like dying, but also
no effort at all.
Also, everyone who went there supposedly got injured. Like, there's a clip from, I think it's like, it's from, is it from Kimmel?
Yeah, there. Jimmy Kimmel goes on there briefly.
And he's like, everyone in my family got injured at Action Park.
Well, that's what Gethard says. Like, when you get back to school in the fall, everybody's got bandages and scars and stuff. And you would just assume it came from Action Park. And then sometimes they'd be like, no, I fell off, you know, I was skiing. And it's like, oh, you just assumed it was Action Park first. And they had that like weird alcohol iodine spray that was so painful that you get a prize for staying in the circle, which only two people did. And they only got a pen. My favorite story is when Gene Mulvihill came up with the idea to use a fake cattle prod on people that didn't have tickets. So he staged a killing of a guy with no ticket to let the rumor get around not to sneak in.
Yeah.
And it was actually like in the news for that, like for killing a kid. And that's the thing. Like, the whole park was run essentially by teenagers. So this is like a slap. Like, this needs to be made into a fictional movie. I would love to see this movie.
Yeah. What was that movie with like Ryan Reynolds and
Adventureland? Great movie.
It could be like a, that.
That mixed with
like Jackass.
And maybe even like a horror aspect, because like you could you could make the Gene guy not a good person, and people dying and stuff, right? Like, it could be gory and like it could be a good horror comedy. That's what I would do. Nobody's listening to me. I'm just a guy.
He's just a guy.
Hollywood, call me. I'm open.
What ride scared you the most? Like, of all the rides they highlighted, which is the one that you're already scared of roller coasters and rides. What was the one that you were like, hell to the no on that one?
Alpine Hill, where you just have the little sled.
Yeah.
Because so I've been on like pretty extreme tubing rides across the country. I do like that a lot. And there's this thing that happens when you go around a corner. Like, one I was on was built up like 30 or 40 feet on the ground on stilts for some reason. And I hated that because
you could just fly right out of it.
Well, you're in the tube and then you go up the lip and you can look over down to like all the way down the ground.
The
engineer has designed this in such a way where no matter like
you get the visual, but physically you can't fly out.
Yes, I'm assuming, but I'm not a physicist, but that
was just Gene Mulvihill back from the dead.
That makes no sense to me, because it's like, how do you know? Because like in my tube, there was three 200-pound guys. So there's 600 pounds in this tube. How is this just as safe as a tube that has 300 pounds in it? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, but I guess that they figured that out. And so my sense watching the Alpine slide is just like, it's one of those, except it's not safe. You will fly out. That sounds like hell, you know, because I don't like to fly out of things. And I grew up.
Who does?
When I was a crazy teen, all of my friends were skateboarders and rollerbladers. And like, we played, you know, we were all in bands. We hacky sacked.
What was your record? What was your record? How many sacks did you hacky? Count,
man. We just hack just to hack.
You were just there for the game.
That's right. I don't know if you ever hung out with skateboarders and shit, but they're crazy, Steve.
Yeah.
And so we would do this shit all the time. Like, that's how I set my head on fire as a kid. Like, we were like Jackass kind of kids. So back then I would have loved Alpine.
Is that when you had long hair?
It was.
Till is that how you got short hair?
The flames took it.
Is that why you don't have hair now?
No, I had long hair after the flames. I regrew it and I refused to cut it. And it was like melted and shitty for a year. My sophomore year, it was all melty and shitty.
I just love the phrase. No, I had hair after the flames.
Yeah. Well, I got all like Targaryen about it in my mind and I wanted to keep that phrase.
A hairdo only fire can tell.
Like, my favorite one was the one where they were just jumping off the cliff and the guy said, you know, hey, it was supposed to be a place you could chill, but then somebody would land on you, right?
Oh yeah.
Cause have you ever been cliff jumping?
I have. Yeah.
That is very fun. Mm-hmm. It's scary as shit, but it's very fun. And I do think there's an element to this that some of the people, the guests talk about or, you know, hint at life. Sometimes you do have to do things that could kill you in a sense that like the feeling you get from that, like the euphoria of having done it and made it. And I'm not condoning that, but I'm just saying like some of my favorite memories are like, no, I'm not fucking doing it, dude. And like your friends, which I guess is why my wife was pushing me for the roller coaster. But then
she knows you so well.
But then I jump or whatever we're doing and I come up out of the water and like that, there's a moment where you're like, this is life. I have lived, you know.
You have lived. You have done it. You have proven yourself a man.
But sometimes people get hurt and it sucks, you know? So because we had to sneak, I don't know where you went cliff jumping. We had to sneak into the, it was a rock quarry that people would mine from.
I went cliff jumping in Mexico, so they didn't give a shit.
Nice.
They're like, the cliffs, a higher one's that way, follow us.
And we used to actually hike down to this place. It was called DeMossville. It's a really high cliff.
Dumbassville?
Yes. It's in Kentucky.
Oh, Dumbassville.
Listeners from DeMossville, I'm sorry. But there's like a, you have to like find it. My friends knew where it was, and it was like a railroad track above a river. And you would, it's really fucking high. I don't know how high, 60 feet or something crazy. Like you have to jump properly or you will get hurt. And I was kind of contemplating the edge of the cliff. And my buddy sparked a joint and like, hey, let's smoke this and think about it before we jump. That made it way worse, right?
Oh, obviously. No.
But that was
that's never been a good idea. Let's spark a joint and think about this. Once no matter what you're thinking about, that's never a good idea.
That's how I was raised, man. Ponder this, son. But it was so bizarre to jump because when you jump due to gravity, it's over in half a second. But I'd never jumped before and then like had full ass thoughts and still been in the air. Yeah, that's how high it was. You know what I mean?
Full ass thoughts.
But it was fun, man. It's exhilarating to live that way. And I think they captured some of that. You know, it made me, because I'm in my 30s now and like I love my life. I love my wife, my kids. But there's like, and this is the bane of everybody who ages. Like I'm, this is nothing new. It's just hitting me now because I'm finally there. But it's like, God, if I could be 20 again, like I was not doing the right shit at all. And I'm not talking about investing in Apple and all that stuff, which, but I would. But it's just like, I was so mean to people and I was so selfish. And like, if I could like stay up all night and then go to school the next day and go to college and like feel great still and, oh, do anything. You know what I mean? Like that would be so, now that I know how to live with that energy level and that body,
that body,
you know, when you're just hanging out with your
show
friends
me the body.
And you like legitimately don't have shit to do all week.
Yeah.
And you're just
hang out
playing video games all night and go see a movie and then go jump off a fucking cliff. And then like, you
have full ass thoughts.
Yeah. There's a bunch of dudes, a bunch of girls. Everybody's so nice and free and, you know, like naively looking forward to the future. God, I'd like to be there again.
Sweet summer children.
I don't know if I'm making, I'm just babbling, but part of me thought of that watching this.
That makes complete sense. Like, and that's, I think what the success of this particular documentary is. Cause I mean, you and I have just kind of sat here and shared our sort of theme park horror stories, adjacent theme park horror stories. And those are always fun to talk to people about. And that's basically what this documentary is. It's like an hour and a half of people sharing mostly fun stories about their youth and how crazy it was. And it's all very relatable. Like,
one size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Like the idea, like at one point, they're talking about how the employees would like, had like they would save all, what was it, all the money they found in the bottom of the pool or something. And then at the end of the summer, they would have like a huge like employee party where they would get trashed and they would sleep overnight and then wake up and go lifeguard the pool.
Like, yeah, you're fine. Yeah, dude, like it's like they're all banging each other and getting drunk and high.
In
and
the
like,
fuck shack?
Yeah. Like that's, I miss those days, you know? Those were fun times. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially because we're always growing and changing. Every 5 years, I look back and I'm like, I don't even know that guy. I don't like that guy. My values have changed completely. And that's a good thing. That means I'm growing as a person. You know, I learn new things about myself all the time when I look back, and things that used to be okay with me no longer are. I maybe want something completely different out of life. And therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding, because sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react the way we do until we talk through things. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you're at right now. And that can be a tough thing to find. I work in the mental health field, have for many years. And even then, looking for a therapist can be an exhausting process, especially dealing with all the ins and outs of insurance. And eventually you're just like, I just won't worry about it, right? But what BetterHelp does is it connects you online. It's all entirely online. You can shop through different therapists to try to meet your needs. And then you can switch therapists rather easily if you're not jibing with the one that you've got. And I personally have, this is me getting real for a second. I've been trying to talk myself into securing a therapist for myself for a long time, like multiple years. I still to this day have not done it. I have no personal experience with therapy except maybe you could call it group therapy with the 12-step stuff that I do. But I've got like severe anxiety, all kinds of shit going on. And I know that I need a therapist. And so I really like this sponsor, just connecting people easily right where they're at, right in their home, with something that they probably desperately need.
As a child, as a young person, as a kid, that is such a wild, crazy moment that we all cling to and adore. But as you get older and as adults and you see that happening, you're just like, this isn't smart. This is why people are getting hurt. This is why people are dying. And
it's like Chris Gethard said, like the fact that two people died in the wave pool is fucked up.
A wave pool.
Yeah, right. Like, well, it's even that's weird, but like, it's like the fact two.
Yeah.
Why does the ride still exist?
Yeah.
After the first one.
Right.
You know?
The thing that gets me is the person who got electrocuted in the kayak ride.
Yeah, that was one of the saddest ones.
Like, that's the one where it's like, how in what world should there be a live wire? Because the reason why there was electrical wire, and so it was like a little,
it was a fan.
It was supposed to be a lazy river or something, but they made, or no, that was a different ride, but there was some type of like river and you'd be on a kayak and they had like underwater fans
that would simulate current.
Yeah. That would simulate a current. And I guess
one
of the fans shorted out and like, it was putting electricity in the water and somebody like fell out of their kayak and got too close to it and got electrocuted and got into cardiac arrest because of it, which is awful. It's terrible. And it's like, why do you put a fan in water? Why is there electricity in there? Especially outputting waters that would kill somebody.
Hey, part of it was Eugene Mulvihill's like skirting of all rules and regulations. Part of it was the era. You know, they talked about it being the Reagan era where it was kind of free and it's all about
economics.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And yeah, so it was just the perfect storm of those ingredients. Because the park died in 1996 and it still exists as a water park. I forget what it's called, Mountain Creek Water Park is still there in Jersey in Vernon Township, as far as I know.
It's owned by a former employee now.
Yep. That's what they said at the end of the, it was a guy that worked there. It's just like walking through, I took so many people to the fuck shack. He called me Dirty Mike.
Can't give this place up. Best years of my life right here.
Thanks for the F shack.
I put a monument where the fuck shack was.
I built a statue to Stacy
and Pam and Marty.
Hello.
I would often frequent Action Park. It was one of my favorite places to frequent.
I can imagine you would have season passes to this place, but just to watch.
I had the VIP passes. I didn't have to wait in a goddamn line to get on Cannonball Run. Mm-mm. I just really, you know what? I didn't even ride the rides. All I did was I popped a chair, sat there, and just looked at all the children being mutilated. They weren't fighting. They were having fun, which kind of put a damper on things for me. But how else are you going to spend a Tuesday?
Sure. It's a good thing when the lab's closed for the summer, you know? Because it's like a school, and I assume you're on sabbatical.
Yeah, we're on school time.
Because it's mostly children.
I'm really. Yeah, they have to go back to their families.
The ones that don't work out.
The ones that survive get to go back to their families.
That's what happened to Seven.
Mo, Marty B, don't you change one bit.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Well, he's dead now, or he's still laying in the desert. That's that's our headcanon.
Yeah, that's he's still out there with a hole in his head.
He zooms us from time to time.
So speaking of the Alpine slide, that was the one that kind of
did that not scare you? We kind of veered off of that, but I mean that's terrifying to me.
It didn't because I've ridden stuff like that before. Like I think there's a thing very similar to this in Gatlinburg, if I'm not mistaken. There's like a
Dolly World.
No, not Dolly World.
It's you ride her breasts. It's like a
hi, honey, get on. tit slide. I forget what it's called, but it's in old Gatlinburg, and you take like a ski lift up to like this little resort that's on the top of the mountain, like Uberville or something. Oberville.
I've taken the sky lift, but there's no slide up there.
But there's a ski resort up there. There are some like indoor rides, but there was like an alpine slide type thing up there. And I remember riding that and not thinking it was like that scary. So when they had this up there, I was like, really? Well, I guess it just depends on how the turns move.
They move rough.
And I love the idea how people would get on the lift to get up to
the top. That was
the
one with the first death.
It was, yeah. And this is the thing that like makes Mulvihill like such a villain is the boy that died, the brakes on his thing weren't working, so he was going too fast. He flew off the track and he like fell down and hit a bunch of rocks, and he hit his head on a rock and ended up in a coma and died. And they didn't report the accident, and then when they got sued, they were like, hey, the ride works fine. He didn't die on the ride. The rocks are what killed him.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, come on, you sons of bitches.
And he paid that family $100,000 because teenagers aren't the lawyer advised them teenagers aren't worth that much.
Which is messed up. It's so messed up.
Yes.
And when the mother of the boy that passed away said like when Jean died, her husband came home like, honey, break out the finest rosé. Jean Mulva, I can't say his name right. Jean died. Yeah. And she's like, and we did. I'm like, yeah, queen. Toast that man's
death. It's the only death I've ever celebrated. Well, I would hope it's not a frequent thing. Yeah.
We do it every week.
Yeah, every Sunday we look at the obituaries and we snort some lines and
look at this, honey. John Lennon died.
What a loser.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, but it's weird.
There we go.
That first death occurred in 1980, I think. Which is bananas. Early on. And then the wave death, the second wave death that they had talked about, that was in 1987. And I was kind of putting things together because they told you these events out of order. So it's wild to me that, you know, people just keep dying, keep getting sued, keep getting news stories, and nothing's ever really done about it. And I understood like the 16-year-olds riding their bikes or sneaking out of school and going unbeknownst to anyone to this park and going to the F shack and, you know, getting messed up and going down the slides and jumping off the cliffs made sense to me because that's the kind of kid I was. What didn't make sense to me was like the families, you know what I mean? Like the parents brought that like their whole brood yeah. to this. I guess they didn't know what was going on there. But like once you walk in, you look around, maybe I'm just not a product of the 80s, but you'd look around and go, nah. You know, maybe I would, but
well, wasn't
do you need a can't fucking swim bracelet? You know, oh, maybe this isn't the best place for my 8-year-old.
Wasn't there Chris Gethard had a story where like, I guess one of his friends in the neighborhood was having a birthday there. But he was like a child of divorce. And so like, you can't not go for him. But his parents were like, hey, be careful, please. Please be careful if you're going to Class Action Park.
Yeah.
Or Action Park. I keep saying the movie.
That's such a good title.
It is a very great title. I love, so Chris Gethard is like a highlight of this documentary for me because he is so funny in his descriptions of everything because he's able to like speak to why someone would find the park alluring or fun or why you would go, and he would immediately undercut it with how stupid it is to be there, and then he would immediately after saying how stupid it is to be there go, I had such a good time. Like, he's such, even his description down to how so much of the park is hot black asphalt. And if you didn't bring shoes, you were just fucked.
Yes. That's like my memory of these kinds of places from being a kid too. Like that's another thing. And my mom would take me to a pool or something, and then we'd be running across the parking lot with our wet bare feet and just like it's so hot. You can only put your foot down for like half a second and just, I'm so pale and chubby. I'm ow, ow, ow. Like, why did I leave the house?
I don't want to be it's here.
It's like this every time.
Oh, no.
And I don't think it's a bad thing that everything is safer and sanitized now. Like, I don't think our childhood today is too bereft of danger to grow as, you know, into as humans. But because that, if you take that logic all the way down, it's like, God, those lucky kids in the dark ages, man, you know,
right.
You have to play with real swords by six.
Like, I guarantee when people who are teenagers now get to our age, they're going to have their version of things like, man, it's not like what it used to be. Kids these days have it so much easy. It's a tale as old as time. Every generation looks at the next generation with some type of mixture of disdain, anger, or just like, man, if only they grew up when I did, because I grew up at the perfect time.
We used to have to tell Siri to Google things. We didn't just think the thought into our implant.
Exactly.
Kids these days.
Because kids today are dealing with their own crazy fun to them. It might be in a digital space, but that's their adventure. That's their fun. They're dealing with the awful ramifications and unsafe things that are happening today because of that we as a society have not yet rectified. And there'll be a documentary in 20 or 30 years from now saying, like, about class action TikTok or something. You know what I mean? Like,
that's right now.
Yeah, that's life, baby.
Watching Congress. Well, I actually had a professor ruin theme parks for me even more in college. Cause I already knew I didn't really like them, but it wasn't like what happened last year when I found out for sure as an adult that my body's not willing to enjoy them. But he was talking about their existence philosophically and the fact that it's so strange that our lives are so stable as a species, right? We're not running from saber-toothed tigers or having to hunt our meals, or like there's really no impetus to raise your adrenaline to that level anymore. And so we manufacture it. We go to a theme park where we trick our bodies into thinking we're in a life-threatening situation for fun. Like, that's how bored we are as a society, that we just like, God, I wish I felt like I was dying. And so that's what theme parks are.
Yeah, we all know the real way to get your blood pumping is you go to the island where you hunt people.
Exactly. If you can afford it, that's the problem. It,
yeah.
As tickets are steep and they're always booked.
But
the
until
only time
then,
I could get there was as a participant, right. And I'm not fast enough.
But until you get there, we always have Disney World.
But he was saying, like, you know, you actually take, I don't know if this is true or not, I'm not a fucking scientist, but what my professor said, he was a psychologist, is that it's actually doing damage to your body. Like, it's taking years off your life. Like, when your stress levels are raised to that, you know, it's bad for your heart. I don't know if this is true or not, but that's what he was saying. Like, and so all I need with my hypochondria is just the tiniest little bit of something like that to run with it, you know? So that makes the roller coaster even more uncomfortable for me, because I'm like, hey, man, it's not good for my heart. Yeah. This ain't good.
No, thank you.
It's cortisol levels rising.
I will not be getting on the teacup ride. Thank you very
much.
The
last roller coaster I went on, I was cussing Jimmy the whole time, because it was that one where you're facing each other.
Face off?
And you go through, well, it's not called that anymore, but it was originally based on that movie, but now it's called something else. But
two people are facing two people. So sometimes you're going backwards, sometimes you're not.
Yep. And you're going upside down and stuff and every which way, but half of it's backwards and half of it's facing your friend. And then your feet are dangling.
Yeah.
So this was the one that, like, I had already skipped two of the rides, and then he was like, come on, man, you know? And I was just so terrified, because it's a dangler of all things. I'm feeling less secure than ever.
You don't like the dangles?
I don't like the dangles. And I'm looking right at him, and the whole time, he said, is this what you wanted?
Look what you've done.
Oh, this is so fun. Fuck you. Just screaming.
You're trying to spit, hoping it gets to him.
Because it feels like I'm about to die. You love that ride?
Actually, that is one of my favorite rides at Kings Island.
That whole thing. So when they crank you up, and I had the shitty seat, so it's like, you can't see if you're not watching the YouTube, but you're at this angle and they crank you up facing down to start the ride.
Yeah. Cause you go through the ride and then you come back through it again.
And you're like I don't know if it's hundreds, I think over 100 feet in the air at this point. Right.
It's not a super tall coaster, but it's probably 100.
Back you off the property. And it's like, it feels like it's far.
Yeah.
And what's holding you is that chest piece. Cause you're sitting on like a bicycle seat with your feet dangling. But at that angle, what's holding you is this, all your body weight on this chest piece that some 16-year-old locked into place. And so, and you have to wait for the, so that's the worst part for me, is always waiting for the ride to go. Like when you get to the apex of the hill or whatever. So I'm just sitting there staring at him like, I hate that, man. Like, I don't trust the technology. So I'm like using every ounce of my strength to actually hold it there, even though that's not necessary. So I'm just an anxious person now. Like even on regular roller coasters, I'm holding the thigh lock thing down.
Those things can pop open as we discovered when I rode the Beast.
Yeah. So your experience is like in my head every single time. I don't think it's going to work.
And I just proved to you it can happen.
And I'm not, it might not even be physically possible to fall out of a cart on a loop, like centrifugal force. Why? I have no idea, but I feel like it is.
I think it's possible. Yeah.
So I don't know how many.
It's definitely not ideal.
I don't know how many G's you got to be going. Yeah.
10.
10 G's. Anyway.
So I also wanted to kind of bring up the thing that grossed me out the most in this documentary was when they were talking about Motor Park. Mm. And so they had like these gross go-karts to spew it out gas, and they could like jerry-rig them so they can go over like 70 miles per hour on the highway, and the employees would go take them out. But then they had these like motor boats that were in a lake that was infested with snakes, and also like would kill fish constantly because they were always leaking oil. So it was this gross, putrid, disgusting lake.
Well, even the wave pool, they said that they had to get everybody out to check for bodies.
Yeah.
And it was hard to see because of all the human waste, blood, muddy runoff from a nearby hillside. And
other bodies they missed.
And something else. Yeah. I can't get through all the bodies to see if there's any bodies.
The detritus.
It's gross.
Yeah. Do you like a wave pool?
I like waves. I don't like wave pools.
I'm the same. I think if I was in a wave pool.
That one looked fun.
Just me, I'd be into it.
That's another thing. I'm not a scientist. They said in that documentary, it's like, not like the ocean because that's salt water. So it's not as buoyant. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Salt water. Oh, that's why like in Stranger Things, they make the.
They put the salt in the bathtub so she can float. Yes. Yeah, makes you more buoyant.
I never fucking thought of that, bro.
But also they're like pumping out like ridiculously large wave, like 20-foot waves in this pool.
Do it.
That isn't as buoyant. So of course people are going to get sucked under and drown and all that stuff.
Yeah, some of the
and there's also like they crowd it with like 500 people in this.
Yeah, he said shoulder to shoulder, and some people were in the death zone.
Yeah, that not to be confused with I'm sure another roller coaster name, the death zone. But like wave pools are weird for me. Like I like the concept of them, but it's the fact that there are like so many other people in there with you that freak me out. Cause
yeah,
not I trust other people. Mm-mm. I like waves. I like pool. And it's like, oh yay, jumping up at the wave. Get away from me, stranger.
Yeah.
Get away from me.
I'd never really done that. I'm not if you can't tell from this tirade I've gone on, I'm not an outdoorsy person, but I've done some things. And
you're an indoor cat.
My wife, when my wife and I went to Hawaii, I went body surfing for really the first time, and she swims like a fish. She looks like a mermaid. It's amazing to watch. And I was like, she showed me like when she would jump at the crest of this wave, and she would ride that motherfucker like shaped like a swan the whole time, like 20 feet all the way to the beach. You know what I mean? And that was so, and we found this nude beach. And we were just body surfing the whole time, free as a bird. You know, that was the most fun I've ever had outside ever in my life. I mean, it just, if you've never been in the ocean naked, Steve, you got to do it.
I am barely in the ocean without a t-shirt on.
You talk about buoyant. Oh my God. That was amazing. But yeah, so I love waves, but I hate wave pools. It just, the only ones I've ever been in, it just kind of feels like meh, cool.
Meh.
I
do have a little bit of a different thing for us today, and that is I asked for questions about this movie on Discord.
Oh.
Which you could become a part of if you go on the patreon.com/streamingthings and get the appropriate tier. We got a couple questions from one. We got a couple questions from one listener from Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car. They write, would any of you attend the park as it was? Follow-up, is there any ride you would not have felt safe riding? I think we might have covered that second part. But would you have gone to this park, Chris? You don't like roller coasters. You don't like rides. But would you have gone to Action Park?
If I was 16 and my buddy came up and he had a backpack full of warm Milwaukee's best cans of beer.
Ew.
And a
warm?
Yeah, and an eighth sack of some marijuana. And peer pressured me into going because there was a couple ladies that were coming. And then because they were there, I would have ridden everything first. And said, yeah, and just acted like I wasn't scared. Yes. But like now or no?
No.
Does that make sense?
So would you go to the current incarnation of it, the mountain creek, whatever?
No, I don't want to go. I don't even like the zoo. I don't like the aquarium. I, you know.
But the aquarium's inside.
I don't like any of that.
I would have gone. I definitely would have gone when I was younger, just because, there are so many dumb things I did as a teenager specifically just to kind of like, oh, I did a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like everything in my life was just so I could say I did it. I hated it during, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I might've mentioned it briefly at some point on the podcast, but like when I was younger, I was the kid that people would dare to do shit.
Me too.
And I would
like, I was the crash test
and
dummy.
I was like, you give me a quarter, I'll do it. And like, I wouldn't do it for free. Like you had to pay me.
And I was the same way, but that was weed I was talking about.
Yeah. I need a quarter. But I remember like during track practice, they would be like, hey, go up on the, you know, the 6 foot tall, whatever the fuck it was, the concrete barrier, then do like a front flip onto the ground off of it. And I would, you know, just do stupid shit like that. And, so of course I would go to Action Park and like do the Tarzan thing, the Tarzan swing and all that stuff. I would 100% have done that. Would I do it now? Probably. I probably would, at least for the people watching. I mean, the Tarzan swing alone, they talked about how people would like pull their shorts down and flash people and all that. And then like they would just get heckled if you didn't dive into it properly.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Pussy.
You big pussy. You did it. You did that terribly. Like
get out of New Jersey.
That might be fun just to put up a lawn chair and just watch happen, you know? Mm-hmm. But Rabbit Dog continues. Or I'm sorry, did you want to answer a ride you would not have done?
I just want to back up a little bit and say, wherever there are people who frequently drop trowel and flash their balls, you are excited to pull up a lawn chair and watch. Is that what you said?
I mean, I stand by what I said.
Yeah.
Great people watching.
Let's keep going. Yes.
I would bring like little scorecards like I was in the Olympics, like 6.9.
Nice.
7.8.
I like that. And they're like, 6.9 first.
Thank you. And they'll be like, I haven't jumped yet. I'm like, I saw your junk. That's what I'm rating. I'm not rating the jump.
I haven't jumped yet.
Junk to jump. All right. But is there a ride you would not feel safe at all?
None of them.
None of them? What? Okay. A harder question. Is there a ride you would have ridden?
Like I said, given a couple of people I had crushes on and a little bit of booze, all of them. But I like the one that shot tennis balls, those tanks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, those look fun.
That seems fun.
Weren't people like lighting the tennis balls on fire? And
that's what do you think happened to my hair? It was that kind of shit. Yeah. And I like that one a lot. I like the idea of that. I've had some good fun on go-karts, but I've never had one. I've been on some serious ones before that go like 40, 50 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And that was even like tough. Like the rumbling of it is like pretty painful to your forearms after a few, like you gotta,
oh yeah,
it's a lot to keep those tiny things in control when they go that fast. So I can't imagine being like going 70 in one. Like that would feel crazy.
Absolutely.
And I do like cliff jumping as long as no one's beneath me.
Yeah.
Jumps on my head.
I would definitely do the cliff jumping and like Tarzan swing. I think the Tarzan swing, because it goes into like an actual like natural
the spring water, that is cold water,
that cold, yeah. And people could go into shock from it. That's no joke, man. Like I remember I did the Tough Mudder run a couple years ago, and one of the obstacles was they had like a shipping container that was empty, and they filled it up with just pure ice water, and you had to dive into it and swim to the other side and get out. I've never felt pain like that in my life. Like you just think like, oh, it's gonna be cold, right?
Yeah.
But then when you get out of it, like literally like my balls hurt. Like we literally like got out of that and just laid down on the ground for a solid 5 minutes. Like, ah, why?
It didn't make you feel better. Like people do those ice baths, athletes.
No, it was awful.
Yeah.
It was painful.
All the people on the TikTok do that every day in the morning.
Oh man, their balls must hurt every day in the morning.
It's better than coffee.
And then Rabbit Dog from Discord also continues. Not a question, but a statement. I have done the Alpine slide in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Oh, yeah, I was just talking about that. As a child, and it did terrify me. Multiple members of my party came away with skin burns. I feel like a full throttle type person, but I was going so slow with my brake on so hard that I almost got crashed into by the people behind me.
Yeah, but I'm glad there are brakes, except for the guy that died because his didn't work.
Well, yeah, because people would go on the lift and you had to carry your little cart with you up the lift. And then they would like dive bomb people with them. Like they would drop them off the lift and try to hit people. That no wonder those things were broken. They just kept getting dropped from above.
People were, dude, you 80s kids from Jay-Z. I'm sad Kevin Smith wasn't on this documentary. Though I
Action Park's fucking great, man.
Yeah, I assume he was the type of kid like I was. He probably just didn't even go. But he's from Jersey, so I was thinking about that the whole time. Like, damn. But I bet Jay Muse was there.
Oh, he was there all the time. Yeah, he was in the fuck shack.
Yeah, I was going to say, he just stayed in the fuck shack. Rating people's stances and stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Spread your feet.
Yeah, but those are all the questions we got from Discord.
Well, I appreciate you guys for all the films that you nominated. There's some big ones coming up, some of my all-time favorites. And Kiki, thank you for forcing me to watch this again because I'd forgotten a lot of the good moments from it. It's a very entertaining documentary, and I need to watch more documentaries.
Absolutely. The next chosen film we're going to be doing next week, right, is going to be none other than, I think, a movie you love, Train to Busan.
Yes.
The zombie movie.
I've seen this like 20 times, but it's been a year and a half or so.
I've never seen it.
And it hasn't been out that long. I love it. And I own the 4K Steelbook. I think it's 4K. It's definitely a Steelbook. So I'm excited. I haven't even opened it yet. So yay.
Yay.
Yay. There's a sequel called Peninsula that's not as good, but if you're just like a zombie fan, I do recommend it. It is fun.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to see it. That one was nominated by Jordan. Never seen it? I've never seen Train of Busan. No.
Thank you, Jordan Esk. Thank you, Casey.
They're the same person. Just people are like, just in case people are like, who's Casey?
Yeah, I feel like I'm close enough with Casey now that like calling her Jordan Esk is just like, that's not her name.
No, you know what I mean? Casey. It's Casey.
It's like that song. That's not my name.
That's not my name.
Yeah. They call me Jordan Esk. It doesn't fit. Thank you to everybody who listened and look forward to this. We're going to be knocking out like again, at least one, maybe two of these each week. We got Train to Busan next. And then what's the Matrix is coming up quick, isn't it?
Train to Busan, then Grind.
Grind. Jake's going to be so happy. I actually have never seen that. So those are the next two. We might even be able to do both of them next week, Steve. I'm just not sure yet.
Do you want to hear a handful of what we got going?
I would love to.
We got Grind, Tombstone, Robin Hood, Men in Tights, Silence of the Lambs, Barb and Star, Visa Domar, The Outfit, Fifth Element, John Wick, Pokemon the first movie.
Oh, God, yes.
Scream. We have Night at the Opera. We got a bunch of stuff.
I'm really excited about a lot of those. Yeah. That's going to be fun. So that's all the next couple of months. Look forward to that during our Yellow Jackets coverage. We don't know what our big tentpole thing is going to be after Yellow Jackets, I don't think. So we'll have to figure that out, of course. But as always, just be kind to each other. And thank you for tuning in. That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
It's Sniper Tone here, and I've been instructed by the boys via radio to read you the brand new patrons in the month of March. These are people who have an extra set of mirth in their hearts, and they are truly the last line of defense between Streaming Things and a total economic collapse. So in the try before deny section, I want to thank Luke and Sarah, Conrad and Trey Barrera. In the Marty B VIP section, we're thanking Tamara. Oh, Tony's going to mispronounce this one, that's for sure. Jir Latanowitz. Oh, I mispronounced that just like I misfire my rifle. Brianna Bernard, we thank you. Elizabeth Palmer, Josh Stitch, and John Ricker. Oh, thank you all so much. In the Chocolate Pudding producer sections, we have Lair Gillis, Maha Axholt, I probably missed that one too. Thank you to Jordan C., Kelly Shartner, Natalie Cleland, Sunny. Oh, it has not been sunny here in quite some time. Thank you to Wayne Yopst, Oh, I think the world has passed Tony by. Tony does not know what that word is. Yupst. Thank you to Shotzi, Brock Burick, Alicia Takahashi, Gabe, Quentin Vassa, Teresa Schwimmer, and Rob Westendorf. And last but not least, we have our friends Don't Lie to thank. Those friends are Taj Allah and Melissa Worcester. You know what old Tone used to shoot a Worcester back in his day? Or was it a Winchester? I don't know. I'm Snapper Tone. My mind is frail. I got to get back to protecting Kansas City. What? It's already on fire. Oh, Tony, you done it again.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.